Good afternoon, church. It is good to see all of y'all here tonight. And I was talking this afternoon. We had several different meetings that we had to attend to this afternoon for Children's Church and for upcoming kids camp tonight, or like up this summer. We had that. And I told my sister, I said, yeah, I'm preaching tonight. Oh, yeah, that's right. You are preaching tonight. I said, I'm gonna make sure to go extra long just for you. She said, if it gets to 6:45, I will leave. So I'm going to make sure I don't go to 6:45, but I will be going through several different verses tonight. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 12. I have a lot of different thoughts I want to get out there tonight. And if you are taking notes, either you're going to be glad that I have my points, or you're going to be very sad because of how quickly I am speaking. So tonight we're going over just a healthy church. You know, looking up just the definition of healthy, immediately going to Webster's dictionary, it states it as not displaying clinical signs of disease or infection. I'd say that's a pretty straightforward, you know, description of what being healthy is. We're all, or if not, we should all try to strive to be healthy. We should all strive to be the best versions of ourselves. And one of the other things that came up, it's with how you would describe healthy, it is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely just being absent of disease. Being healthy also means that you're there mentally, that you're there, you know, that you have that social well-being. And like I said, not just being, you know, not sick. We've just gotten out of all of the colds, hopefully. You know, it still gets a little chilly for some reason in Georgia at this time, but we've gotten out of that. And, you know, I'd say that's great. But tonight we're going over a couple different parts of being healthy. I got 3 points for y'all tonight. One being the healthy state of our body. Secondly, the healthy state of our mind. And finally, the healthy state of our church. The reason why I have the church as the last bit, even though the title is Healthy Church, is we need to understand on how we need to be healthy, because we are the church. We are the ones that, you know, make sure that this building is running. Now, the church is not this building. While this building is amazing, it's great, we have like amazing facilities. We have great facilities downstairs where we have dedicated youth rooms, dedicated, you know, Sunday school rooms, many different things, but it's the people. Without the people, you can't have the church. So in the first topic, state of our body. In Romans chapter 12, we're going to read just a couple verses there. I beseech you, therefore, starting out in verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. God is asking us something reasonable. It says it right there in the end. It says a reasonable service. For someone who does so much for us, for someone who gives us so much, who blesses us as much as we're given and we don't deserve, is it not reasonable for us to just follow him? Is it not reasonable enough for us to just take what time we have and give it to God? You know, having that state of our body, we need to make sure that we're giving it to him regardless. Now, how do you introduce health into that? It's not with this, it's regardless of your health. Because I know that many times a lot of us have different medical problems. A lot of us have different, like we might have some other stuff going on mentally. But it is regardless of your health, you're able to serve. It may be to different degrees. It may be to really different ways. Some people may be able to make more phone calls than I'm able to make. Some people may be able to send out letters or talk to people that I'm not able to talk to. I work with the youth consistently on Wednesdays. I'm not able to reach out to the Awana kids on Wednesdays that the Awana people are able to reach out to. So what is your, you know, it's a dedication. Just like you're dedicated to your family. You have that, you have your family members that you would go out and you would do, that you do things for. If you have grandkids, if you have kids, if they called and they asked, hey, I need help, would you not be willing to go and help them? Where is your dedication? Where is your steps to going and dedicating your body? You know, this is one quote that I ended up finding while just doing research for my verse. God doesn't ask for a perfect body. He asks for a surrendered one. Amen. He doesn't ask for you to have like the most perfect health, to be the strongest person, to be the most, you know, athletic person. He just asks for you to surrender yourself. Because how can you have a healthy church without surrendering yourself? If you are not surrendered, then how do you have that? You can't. Now, one major thing that I love about this is, you know, this one statement. It's convicting. Are you giving what you're supposed to be giving for the church, for your time, for your effort, for Him? Because even then, us giving our all is still less than what He's provided for us with that reasonable service. In verse 2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you surrendering or are you just coming in? I know that most of y'all, it's great to see this, even this many amount of people on a Sunday night, because not many people come on Sunday nights. I know that we have some people watching through the cameras and online that they can't make it to church because of their health. And I understand that. But if we can't dedicate what we have to God, then how can we have that healthy church? So now that we have that main point down, moving on to point two, what is the state of your mind? I'm going to actually ask y'all to go to Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Are we going, like, the mind is very important. Without the mind, we're not able to process things. We're not able to think things through. You know, we're not able to actually dive into the Bible and really process what it's all stating. You know, are we going after God or are we going after, I'd say, the flesh? Are we going after the things of the flesh? You know, in this verse, it's talking about, you know, it's actually making us think, you know, think of the good things while in the bad. And this is Philippians. So it is talking about the church of Philippi. The church of Philippi, they're going through different things. You know, Paul's in prison. They're talking about the persecution of Christians, but yet they're still keeping that positive aspect of their life. Because they're one of the major things in a world like today, we need to think positive. If we're not able to think positive, then how are we able to move forward? Because it's easy to get wrapped up in the politics. It's easy to get wrapped up in the bad things. We have, you know, wrecks outside of this church many, many times throughout the week. We have, you know, Loganville, not even to mention Snellville, have horrible traffic, horrible wrecks, horrible, just honestly, I would say, like, very mean people. But we have to think of the good. We have to think of the good things and understand that what the Bible says, what the Bible brings to us, that is our joy. That is what brings us happiness. Because, you know, Paul is telling us to have that proper focus. Because if we're not focused, then we will fall apart. One of the statements that I hear from Brother Chad all the time, and I know it's not worded exactly like this, if you think it is off, then everything else will be. I changed it a little bit, but if you think of the bad consistently, if you think of all of the horrible things in your life, then that's what it will be. Because what are you doing to change it? If you are viewing it only as bad, then how are you able to look at all the things and go, oh, that's where God was? You can't. So understanding where your state of mind should be. Now that I've hit on the state of your body, where the state of your body should be, and where the state of your mind should be, I'm going to hit on the state of the church. Now, for all the people who are taking note, I am actually abbreviated healthy. So H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. Each one has a different meaning. Each one you can represent in your life. And H, we're going to start off with, you have to have as a person in the church, you have to have a heart for God. To have that healthy church, you need to have that heart for God. Because if you don't have that heart, if you don't have that want, then the church isn't going to grow. The church isn't going to actually go, you can show up to church, you can go and sit through the services, but if you don't have that heart, then you're not going to grow. And if you're not growing, then the church isn't growing. So do you have that heart for God? This is going into Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. This is still the church of Philippi, where Paul is writing to them. And it's verses 3 through 6. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all make requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is talking about just verse 3, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Having that heart where you have that thankfulness. The church youth group, we go up to Helen each and every October. I get to take the teens on a hike. I get to go and, you know, climb up to Ravencliff Falls. We get to see a nice, beautiful waterfall, get to look at the mountains. And I get out there to the top, and I just get to see the tops of the mountains. It's absolutely beautiful. And I can't help but to look at them and go, This is wonderful. This is so beautiful. I have that joy, and I go, thank you, God, for this, because I don't get to see that. We go up to the mountains late at night, and we get to stand in this meadow, and if it's a perfect night, you get to see the beautiful stars. Just getting to see that creation. I'm sure many of y'all can think of that one thing that you've seen that you go, oh, just thank you, God, for that. But having that heart where you just automatically, you don't think twice about it. You go, just thank you. Because being a healthy church is having that genuine love. Verse 4, and always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Going into it with that happiness. And I like what it says, you know, in verse 6, being confident of every very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Saying that you're doing it until that day. Until that moment where you get to see Jesus, whether that be through death or whether that be he actually comes down. You know, and this was written a long time ago, and God hasn't come back. And they were still doing it with joy. They were still doing it with happiness. So having that heart for God. Moving on to E, for healthy, you have that eagerness. This is going to be 1 Thessalonians verse 6 through 8. This is talking about the church of Thessalonica. It says, "Nor of the men sought we glory." Actually, I may have my notes messed up here. No, it's, forgive me. At 1 Thessalonians chapter 6, verse 8. No. Okay, then my notes are just completely messed up. Forgive me. But this is talking about the church of Thessalonica. And yeah, I lost it in there. Forgive me for that. But the church of Thessalonica, it is talking about the eagerness. Not just them staying there and, you know, sitting and coming into the church and just listening, but they had an eagerness for God's word. It wasn't just something that they would come in and listen to. It wasn't something that they would just come in and go, "That was a great service. I'm going to go eat some food down the road from here and then forget everything about the service." They came in and they went, "Oh, that's great. Now how can I share this?" Like going and immediately saying, "Where can I share this?" One of the things that I think about with that is having that eagerness like you did when you first got saved. I know I can think of it for myself where like the one I can remember is when I got baptized. I'm like, "Oh, this is great. I just got baptized. I want to go out and do stuff." And then the person who got baptized next to me, he said, "All right, be quiet. You're being a little bit too loud back here." Like I was ready to go. I see it with children all the time at kids camp. They get saved at kids camp and they have that eagerness to want to be able to share just to their friends, to their family. Many of them, you get to see them go back to their parents and say, "Mom, Dad, I got saved." To have that healthy church, you have to keep that eagerness going. That eagerness to want to share the gospel. Because I can't stress it enough, that's that time in our life where we immediately got saved, I can think of it with myself. If you let it die out, it takes a minute to come back because you have to go and search after it. So bring that eagerness, bring that memory of you having that eagerness of salvation and bring it into the church, bring it into wanting to share the gospel, not just into the church, but into the neighboring areas. You know, having the eagerness to share, to teach, to do what's right, that's what having a healthy church is. Where can you step in? Where can you go to make a difference? Going into A, have that appetite. Say, do you long for God and His will? Do you long for it? This is going about the church of Berea. All of these different letters just to the churches, it's all of them apply to us today. Like I said, I've gone through, you know, the church of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. We're also going to hit on the church of Ephesus, Corinth, and Galatia, and Colossae. All of these different churches still apply to us today. They weren't just written in the Bible to go, oh, you know, that'd be a good place to just throw in that letter. No, they're in here for a meaning. One statement that I actually heard about Paul's letters is, imagine this. You hand wrote a letter and you were just sending it out, and it was so good it got put in the Bible. Writing a letter so you know, well thought out that, you know, God said, you know, all right, that letter of yours, we're putting it in the Bible. That just a simple letter, that these letters even still apply to the church today, that just something so simple, you know, I say it's so simple, is just so, I don't even think I could put it in the proper words. I would say the easiest way to say it's just amazing. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, for the church of Berea, with the appetite, it's talking about they searched Scripture daily. In Acts verse 17, verse 11, it says, there were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all the readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. To have a healthy church, you also need to be educated. You also need to be in your word on a consistent basis. You know, it says that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scripture daily. Daily. Not saying weekly, not saying every other day. You know, skip a day here, skip a day there. But daily. Having that appetite where we want to be in it. We want to just have it whenever we're available. I can think of it, you know, whatever your favorite snack is. You know how if you ever see it, I look at the teens all the time, and you mention their favorite drink or you mention their favorite snack, and they're like, "Ooh, we have that? If we had it, I would have gone ahead and, you know, taken a bite out of that earlier. I would have gone and gotten me a drink earlier if I would have known that it was there." Having that appetite with the Bible, though, is going, oh, the Bible's right there. Why don't I read it? Oh, I have the audio Bible. Why don't I listen to it? Oh, the church doors are open for services. Why am I not there? Oh, when is, you know, oh, we're having a Bible study? I want to go to that. Where is that appetite? Having that healthy church is, where is that appetite to want to be in it consistently? Amen. That is a healthy church. A healthy church that, you know, they just like, okay, can I have your notes for this service? Oh, hey, can I, you know, is that being added online? I wasn't able to watch it. You know, can you send me the link for the online service? Having that want of just to listen to God's word, to be in God's word consistently, whether you're reading it or listening to it, but just to want to be in it. Going into L, this one's going to be a little bit longer, but leading leaders. You know, one of the major things with this is we will be leading to create leaders in our church and society. That's a major part of a church. When you have these teachers downstairs, yes, their goal is to teach you and to educate you about the Bible. When you're up here listening to Brother Tommy, or you're in Sunday school Sunday morning or Wednesday night up here, we're meant to educate ourselves, yes, but it's also to grow leaders. I can think of many different times, and I couldn't tell if he was joking back then or not, but Brother Chad would always look at me and go, and he did this to many, many teenage guys at the time when I was in the youth. He said, okay, so are you ready to be a youth pastor? regardless of your age, if you were in the youth, he was just like, so you're gonna take over when I'm gone, right? You're gonna go and be a youth minister somewhere, right? You know, that's why we're getting you to do these 5-minute devotions. Oh yeah, yeah, you're gonna take over for me one day. I couldn't tell if he was joking or not ever when I was with him, but I guess it turned out well. You know, I'm up here teaching now. But they don't do it just to educate you. They do it to create leaders. They do it to make it where we can reach other people about Christ. One statistic that I looked at and have heard throughout years is, what if you yourself went and got 2 people saved? And you challenged them, those 2 people, to get 2 people saved. And you just keep going on and stacking on and stacking on and stacking on. It doesn't take that long before you then fill a whole church. So as a healthy church, what are you doing to create those leaders? A healthy church is just building up people, building up those leaders, building up those people that can do different things that, you know, maybe you can't do. Like, maybe you're like, oh, I see he has a gift. Oh, he can run games that I can't. I'm gonna just see, you know, can we nudge him in the right direction? Nudge him in the right direction to become that proper leader in that aspect. You know, being leaders to teachers, you know, equips other ministries in just different areas. I will ask this one thing. So, with leaders, we see it all the time, and this is just going to be my final point for leading leaders. With many times in our, maybe not churches, but in life in general, you see all of these different people that you go, oh, that person doesn't need to be in that position. That person could be a bit different. You know, you see a lot of people working these jobs, and most of the guys that are managers are younger than me, and they don't need to be in the position. So where can you go in and say, oh, I can raise a person to be a better teacher, better leader than them? It's one way that I look at it. Where can I go to try to create better leaders? Going into teamwork. Because if you don't have teamwork, you can't get anything done. A while back, I actually got, I guess it was several weeks back now, we cleaned out the upstairs area. And I believe we had exactly 10 people, including me. If it was just me, I would have gotten maybe 1 area done. But I want to say, because of the people we had, we got it done in, honestly, I was estimating about 2 to 3 hours. I want to say we got it done in 2. For a healthy church, you need to have that team. Because as you've probably heard the statement, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. We have to develop those teams. Just like the leaders, you have to get those leaders. With the Church of Corinth, I'd say it's always fun to look at the Bible verses and go, oh, that's my church. Like just see the reference between the churches and the names that you see around in the area. But this is going to be talking about the Church of Corinth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. In verse 21, And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Without help, without having people that help out each other, then you can't get anything done. Without the people in the Awana ministry, let's just say you lost the people who ran the games, what are we going to do for game time? Oh, if you lost the person who's stepping in for the lessons, who's going to teach? If you have just less people to help take verses, for those who don't know, if the kids, they just read off verses to you, they memorize and they read off the verses. If you don't have people to listen to them, then you're going to struggle. A healthy church requires a group effort, requires that team. On to H, having that honesty and accountability. This is going over the church of Galatia, where Paul is just getting on to them. Paul is holding them accountable. Paul is going and saying, you know, what are you doing? That should be the proper response for how we should be as a church. To grow healthy as a church, we need to make sure that we're keeping tabs with ourselves. Because being accountable to the community, individuals, as a church, means a lot. Because think of it this way. If you go and you look at your car and you see, oh, my wheels are canted inward or they're canted outward, and you notice it, but you're just, it'll be fine. It's only a little off. It'll still drive okay for a while. But you know it's there. You know eventually, oh, it's going to end up creating a wear spot, and then, you know, later on that wheel's going to be more rubbed down than the back ones, and it's not going to end well. It kind of messes up the whole car. Because next thing you know, it's going to pop, and then you're going to end up breaking more things. With the church, we have to have that accountability for each other. See where things may go awry in the church. Going, hey, that's not right. That's not lining up. You know, Brother Tommy, he immediately said, and I'm glad he did, when I messed up on the verses, he's like, there is no chapter 6. Having that accountability where, you know, even if you're in the wrong, you're making sure and you're going and telling that person. Because I'm glad he told me. I did flip back to it and I realized, oh, that's not there. But that's the thing that we're supposed to do as a church. We're supposed to have that accountability for each other. Because just like the car, you know, if you see it and you don't say anything, you're not being that proper, that church member, that healthy church member. Main statement for this one is, a healthy church doesn't ignore the drift. Just as your car would drift off into the ditch if you had your tires messed up, the church does not ignore the drift. It corrects it. So when you see the problem, you go and you correct it. And if you're not able to correct it, then you bring in more people and you try to get it to go to veer in the right direction to get right back on track. Having that accountability, that honesty and accountability. And finally, why? That's not the letter why. Yesterday is gone. We've gone over, you know, having a heart for God, being eager for the Lord, having an appetite, leading leaders, you know, teamwork, honesty and accountability, and now yesterday is gone. Say one of the most important things is understanding that even from the mistakes that may have happened during, you know, the accountability part, you know, we still have time to grow, and we don't need to look at the past and go, oh, this is, and just focus on that. Because if we keep looking at the past and we keep looking at it and we keep saying, oh, that was horrible, you know, we don't want to do that again. If we keep looking at it, then how, like just looking at the statement I made for Brother Chad earlier, you know, how are we supposed to move forward? If we keep looking at it and putting our whole focus into it, how are we supposed to move forward? You know, it's not for a time as then, but a time for now. Do not long on the past like it's an idol, but look to what you have currently. In the this is in reference to the Church of Colossae. You know, looking at the new life over old ways, putting off the old self and put on the new ways. Putting on what God gives us to move forward, to be able to prepare for the future. You know, the past, I would say, you know, yesterday is gone. That's the main point. I'm not saying we can't grow from our past, because our past brings in experiences that helps us grow and be better people and, you know, make better decisions. I would say regardless of what age you are, because you're still going through different situations each and every day. But make sure that you're not focusing on it to where it's harming you. To be a healthy church, you know, you have to move on from the mistakes. You have to move on and go, okay, God, you forgave me for this, you forgave me for that, and you're helping me move forward. Understand that yesterday is gone. You know, all of this, all of the breakdown of the healthy, you know, it's not just a statement. It's not just a sense of church health. I'd say, you know, the physical church, it is our health. A church doesn't just become healthy by accident. It becomes healthy with the people, you know, when the people are. Because we can't expect a healthy church if we're not willing to be those healthy people. If we're not willing to grow and we're not willing to be the church that we're meant to be. Then how can we properly serve God? Here's my final statement. A healthy church starts with you. Starts with you as an individual. Starts with you as your own person. It doesn't start with the person next to you. It doesn't start with the person, you know, that's already down there. It starts with you. Don't just go to a healthy church. Don't just go and come into this church, because I love this church. I'd say we're pretty healthy. We're staying on the right track. So when I say don't go to a healthy church, be one. Be that person. Be that one who's supposed to be healthy, who's supposed to be going down the right track, who's supposed to be going and doing the right things.